This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. And our special guest on today's episode of 5x5, Peter. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, for those in our global audience or those in our local audience that might not know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a teacher local to Lancaster. I've been teaching college for about 15 years, and then I do a little bit in media.
Nice. So we're gonna, we've got some knowledge in the house. We've got some knowledge in the room today.
Thank goodness. No, I'm trying.
Or at least enough imposter syndrome to get me by.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I believe you.
Yeah.
Diggs, my friend, always a pleasure to hang out with you.
And you.
We are recording today at the Candy Factory, also known as TCF, in the So Good Media Studio. That's part of TCF, the So Good Media Studio. TCF is a membership club. We offer co-working, social club, all kinds of resources to help you do stuff you want to do, be creative, like the media studio. If you're a member, you get access to the studio. You can make your own podcast. Come on down and take a tour.
Yeah.
If you come on down and take a tour, you can see the So Good Media Studio, where we're actually recording this gift to the internet right now.
And all the other awesomeness that's here.
All the awesomeness. Community membership started at $125, get you in the door anytime we're open. You can get a full-time desk. You get a private office, do all kinds of stuff. And the Candy Factory, or TCF, is a sponsor of this show. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do it without the mothership. So we're very grateful. Also, So Good Lancaster, the show is brought to you by So Good Lancaster. Visit SoGoodLancaster.com or check us out on the social medias. You don't even need to say it anymore, right? Like, yeah. we've gotten past where you need to say, follow us on Instagram at, just find it.
Yeah, you got it.
You
or
can
Twitter
find it.
Or whatever the hell
it's you
called.
You know what it's like? It's like answering machines. voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
I say answering machine because I'm old.
Yeah.
But voicemail. I believe that 30 years ago we kind of went beyond the, I'm not here to take your call right now, but if you'll leave your name and number after the beep, I will get back to you as soon as possible.
It does crack me up when I hear that.
It's
on a
that,
cell phone.
Right. It's 15 seconds
that's like,
that you'll never get back.
What do you have? What do you have on your voicemail?
I don't know because it switched. It
The caller when you're I trying switched, to reach.
It might be that because when I switched from Sprint to T-Mobile, I don't think I set it up again.
Oh, okay.
So it might
it just says.
I don't know. I've never called my phone to hear it. So I don't know what it is.
All right. After this program, we're calling Diggs.
Done.
We're going to find out what's going on with his voicemail. But I think just your name.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jason. You got it.
Yeah.
Beep.
You know what to
you
do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say enough about that. It's almost 6x5. Here we go. This is a new episode. This is episode 8. This is episode 80.
Wow. Yeah.
80.
80.
Of the 5x5 podcast. Crazy. We're 10 away from Melody.
Oh, boy.
If you've listened to this show, you know what I'm talking about. Frank, dish me up topic number one of this episode of 5x5. Here we go. Cheesecake.
Oh.
Cheesecake.
I love cheesecake.
Divisive.
Oh. Wait, you don't like cheesecake?
I like cheesecake at, like, I don't know, the patisserie or...
Oh, I see. But like, you know,
that sounds snobby. But,
No, bring it.
It depends on my level of desperation. If I'm just like, you know, if it's been a night on the town and I get home, Sara Lee will do just fine.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, no. Sara Lee should not be a standard of cheesecake.
No.
Are we now? So are we putting you in the pro column for cheesecake? Period. Like, you like cheesecake?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think we can do that.
You're going and Diggs, you like cheesecake? I'm a fan of cheesecake.
I'm very pro cheesecake.
I don't understand it. I don't know what it means. As a kid, it blew my mind. I was like, what are you talking about? Cheesecake? It didn't make any sense.
Right. Like, you put cheese into a cake and it's sweet.
Right.
And it's good.
No clue.
Well, I think it's like, that's like kid logic, right? Like, did any of us here have that like childlike aversion to the concept of cheese and desserts?
Yeah.
My first objection was, you don't put cheese in that shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's dessert.
Mm-hmm. It's in the carrot cake category.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly. Yeah.
I would say, like, my aversion to cheese and eggs actually started as a kid, too, because for me, cheese was on sandwiches. So I was like, why am I putting cheese in a hot thing that's not, that's, or if that, and it's not on pizza, but you want me to put it in the thing that you like scramble, and I'm like,
no, I know. Kid logic, especially cheese is one of those things. Cheese is one of those things, right? Yeah. That there's so many different kinds of cheese. There's so many different ways you can cheese something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when you really break it down, like you're talking about, like a ham and cheese sandwich,
yeah,
is such a different beast from. I'm gonna go one step further and say like grated Parmesan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grated Parmesan, like in the can, the plastic can with the green. You know, you pop it open. It's got the little holes. Like, because that's not even like a brick of Parmesan.
Yeah, no, but I'll, because it even to, like the it's even the slices of cheese, like American, like the Kraft singles.
Right.
I never liked that. I don't know if it was just the plasticiness of it or the fake taste. It tasted fake to me.
Those are cheese food. Do you ever know?
But then, okay, no, for sure. But then I think also on the flip side, you have that moment of discovery. So I was like, oh, you don't put cheese on Danish. You don't put cheese on cake. And then I have one. I go, well, shit, I've been wasting my life.
When you tasted cheesecake?
When I had my first cheesecake, I said, how do I get this time back? It's like Squidward with the Krabby Patty.
Yeah.
All the wasted years.
That's a good point. Well, see, cheesecake was an early one because growing up in Brooklyn, and I was like, I was a 15-minute walk from Junior's. So I don't know if you know about
I don't know about Junior's.
So like Junior's cheesecake is like a big New York thing.
I was going to ask if there's like a famous Junior's it is.
Junior's cheesecake. And it's on the corner of Atlantic and Flatbush Extension. So it's like the one, if tourists were coming into Brooklyn, would deigned to visit us in the outer boroughs. Bastards. Anyway, if they chose to come over the bridge, they would walk the bridge.
They never went home.
Yeah, they never, probably not. they went home in a body bag. Went home freight. No, but so they would come over. They come over to like the bridge to see the Brooklyn Bridge because, you know, it is beautiful and worth seeing.
Sure.
And then we kind of like get lost between the bridge and where Junior's was. So there's always this like, if you happen to be in that part of downtown Brooklyn, you'd always just like be clocking like tourists and like.
Right.
If depending on your mood, that was the one thing where New Yorkers might not be, or at least Brooklynites might not be helpful to somebody. Oh, do you know where Junior's is? Like, yeah. You just keep going that way. We might not be overly helpful with the like the full directions on that one. Because it was just annoying because then they would clog up the line.
Got it.
And you just want to, yeah. But anyway. But,
how often would you frequent Junior's?
That was probably a monthly thing.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's right. It's from where I grew up. You walk down Lafayette, the main street that literally runs right into downtown Brooklyn, and or DeKalb, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. You walk straight down the street, and you before you get into downtown, and downtown Brooklyn is like the shopping area.
Got it.
Junior's is at the mouth of the shopping area.
So, yeah.
So you had to, and it's still there. So you walk past it, and it's kind of like, well.
Yeah, you're frequenting the area.
Yeah.
Where does cheesecake come from?
An oven?
No, stop it.
Like, what about no-bake cheesecake?
Is that a thing?
That's a thing?
Yeah.
No-bake
cheesecake? Never had it.
Wait.
I've never had it.
Keep going.
I saw it on like some Instagram reel or something.
Oh, is this some like Marie Kondo version of cheesecake or something?
Like, is cheesecake...
Thank you for your service.
My question was like, is it French? Is it, you know...
I'm on it. Ancient Greece.
Ancient Greece.
Of all the things I did not expect to see. Yeah, place of origin. Yeah. Oh, damn. It's, as soon as I said place of origin, it just went to an article about ancient Greece. But
it felt history. French. From
I was thinking that.
Right?
Yeah. Oh,
an ancient form of cheesecake may have been a popular dish in ancient Greece even prior to Romans' adoption of it with the conquest of Greece. The earliest attested mention of a cheesecake is by the Greek physician Agamemnon, 5th century BCE, who wrote a book on the art of making cheesecakes.
That's amazing.
Who knew?
So, yeah. How?
Well, doesn't matter.
That's it.
Doesn't matter because the plate on topic one is officially empty.
Yep.
The crumbs are laying next to the fork. And we are moving on to topic number two, which is private plane. Private plane.
Oh, boy.
Do you have a private plane, Diggs?
You know what? This is the dumbest thing, but I've like in those like dreams of if you win the lottery.
Yeah.
I don't want a private plane. I've settled on the fact that I don't want a private plane because I think I would like to like do like the ridiculous first class
sure
life of like, you know,
right, jet setting.
Yeah, like I would rather do that. Like I still think I'd want to be among people. Like it doesn't seem like if I'm going to go somewhere, I don't want to like be in a cocoon like on my own.
Sure.
With like just my family.
Right. So you want to be among the jet set is what I'm hearing.
But then I'm realizing they might actually annoy me because they'd all be like people who actually have money.
Right.
That didn't just win it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, are you new money?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever met anybody who's had made the list of what I don't want when I win the lottery. That was fascinating.
Oh yeah, I've got a list of that. I don't want a private plane. I don't want a private island. I don't want to there's a third one, but I'm blanking on it at the moment. But
Peter, private plane.
So okay,
first of all, do you have one now?
I don't. Okay. I don't.
Just checking.
At least as far as I know. But I think this is where my like innate saltiness comes in because I remember a story about David Tomlinson. Are we familiar?
No, I don't know.
David Tomlinson played the dad in Mary Poppins.
Okay.
The magician in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Hmm. And so there's this story of Peter Sellers, Pink Panther, going in to visit him in the hospital because he somehow or illegally acquired like a fighter plane from World War II and without a license was flying it around and crashed it. And so I think that there's a long-winded story, but rather than own a private plane, I'd love to go rogue in one and just do loops. I don't know how to fly, but I'd do loops and hopefully live through the experience.
Okay. That's
fair. If you ever have an opportunity to steal a private plane?
Yeah, and I don't want that. You know, I'm on enough watch lists. I don't, you know, I don't mean that in any like violent or malicious way. I just think that it's a fun story, and I really looked up to that dude growing up, so I was kind of like, hey, that's a good idea. Just go over, get someone's private plane and do some loops.
Just tear it up.
Just tear it
tear
up.
Tear up the skies.
Tear it up. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
A whole lot of FAA regulations. Yeah. But
Do you have an I don't want it list if I win the lottery?
I don't want an island either.
No.
But again, innate saltiness coming out. I'd love to buy like a tiny little patch of someone else's private island that I'd never sell to them. And not just because of my like class narrative objections to wealth, but like I'd be like, hey, no, that's like my patch. I stand there.
That's the rich
sometimes. I can't afford to fly there because I don't have a private plane.
This is the rich version of like denying longest road in Catan.
Or it's like, no, that's right. That's right. Or I would see it more as Bartleby the Scrivener from Melville. But
fair.
But what about you, Jason?
I don't have a list of things I wouldn't get if I won the lab. I don't think an island would be on it on my list of to get.
Well, see, but well.
Actually, you know what? Maybe I would buy an island.
Why? Oh, how dare you? I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know. You know, if I won the big lottery, and someone said, "Hey, if you've got an extra $10 million in the sack, you know, here's an island."
Yeah.
And okay. you could put some stuff on it.
Mundock Island.
The only problem with that.
That has a ring to it.
It does. Actually. Yeah.
The only problem with owning an island is the contractors. Like, you know what I mean? Like the landscape. Like,
No. You just get your Amish guys to go and, you know.
the problem is like.
You need a private plane to get them there. Hey.
Well, that's I'm just starting to think about the exponential like logistical nightmare that a private island would bring to me.
Equatorial renovations, am I right?
Just the whole thing. It's starting to boggle my brain.
See, I already had these thoughts. That's why it's on my list of not to do.
Okay, I've just officially moved private island off of my.
There you go.
Off of my to do list and to my not to do list.
See?
For when I win the lottery.
Yeah. Would you ever take a ride on a private plane?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would.
Why not?
True. Yeah.
I mean, unless it's like Epstein or something.
That's fair. Yeah, but I don't want to be on that list.
Of course, how do you know? But prior to, you know, that's the one thing about, I guess there had to have been some clues.
There were probably some rogue cones on the road, you know.
Yeah.
There were some signs, I would say.
I would think so.
But I mean, if it was someone like, you know, a family member got really wealthy or something and they had a private plane, they say, hey, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. We're going to take my private plane.
We're going to Mundock Island.
I'd be like, yeah, sure. I'll hop on that puppy.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad.
Go for
or
a
like
ride.
A NetJets. Like I would maybe if it was somewhere like obscure where I couldn't go first class, I could see myself like doing like a NetJets thing. Like
what's having a NetJets thing?
It's the like the fractional ownership private jets. So like you like
oh like a timeshare for
yeah,
planes.
I was gonna say.
Sort of, yeah. And there's a bunch of versions of it, but essentially it's like timeshare slash Uber. So like you can like you put it in like I'm going to Martha's Vineyard and I'm at Lancaster. Da 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 da. When and, can I have a plane?
Gotcha.
And I think they can show up within hours.
That's great.
Something like that.
I had no idea.
Well, the landing gear is down on topic number two.
Nice.
We are descending into topic number three, beaches.
Ah, see, all the beaches you could put on your private island.
Beach, that's what I'm talking about.
They were probably there.
That's fair.
Are you a beach guy, Peter?
Yeah.
Like going to the beach?
Well, I mean, I'm from Central PA, so a lot of us, we go to Ocean City, Maryland.
Down the shore.
Down to the shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave at 4 a.m. for no reason because you can't check into 1.
Right.
You know? but yeah, no, I enjoy the beach. So I was singing at a bar at Ocean City, Maryland, and just for shits and giggles, I said, how many people in here are from Maryland? And the bartenders raised their hands. Right.
Right. Makes sense.
Not even the bouncer. And so I said, how many of you? I just started shouting out Central PA locations. I said, how many people are from Hanover? Cheers. How many people from Lancaster? Cheers.
Wow.
York. Cheers. It was the whole bar. And the bouncer was from Mechanicsburg.
Nah.
So there you go. But no, I do love the beach though.
Ocean City. You know, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
In Cambria County.
Cambria County. Okay.
Cambria County. And Ocean City, Maryland was just what you're saying. Like, I bet if you threw out Altoona and Johnstown, you'd have gotten some more cheers.
Yeah.
Latrobe.
Yeah. It was Latrobe. I mean,
did you say Latrobe?
Yeah.
It's an Amtrak stop, so I know.
Oh, okay. That's
Bedford, Johnstown. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, no, it was the place you would go. And you know, we would get up at 3 a.m. because we had a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
7-hour drive to get down to Ocean City. And then you'd drive. It was funny because you would drive like 6.5 hours straight through, and then you would sit in traffic for 3 hours.
Right.
5 miles from Ocean City.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Once you get to Ocean Highway.
That was it.
Yeah.
I've never had this experience. And I'm not looking for it because I'm not a beach person. I'm con beaches.
Con beaches?
Yes.
Con beaches.
Con beaches.
So I have an interesting relationship with beaches. Mm. I don't like to sit on the beach.
Mm.
Right. I don't like to. What I don't like is to get up in the morning, lather up with all the crap you got to put on, lug a bunch of stuff out into the, what I refer to as, you know, pretty dirt, and sit in it.
Yeah.
With, you know, little sandwiches that have sand in them.
Oh, God.
And then stay there for like 8, 9, 10 hours, which is what we would do as kids.
Wow.
Oh, God.
You know, and you would do the whole thing. And so I got tagged as an anti-beach person.
Okay. Mm.
Anti-beachite.
But I'm not anti-beach. Mm. I'm anti doing everything that I just described. What I like is I like to see it. I like to walk on it in the evening.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? And I like the vibe of a beach town.
You don't want to loaf on a beach. That's what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to
That was hardcore loafing is what you just said.
Yeah, it's full time. 8 to 10 hours, full time loafing.
How do you eat? Like, what?
So as kids, like the family, you know, we would go with cousins and friends, and it would always be a gang. And the expectation was, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Get up. You're missing the day. And we'd be out there for hours. And I'd be like,
that's a long time.
Once I hit about 16, I was like, I'm out. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing this.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That was a long.
But I do like a beach town.
Yeah.
And I went to the Caribbean for the first time.
Nice.
And I sat on a, you know, under an umbrella on a lounge chair for a little bit, and I actually got into the water, and it was lovely.
You know, it's interesting, Jason, that what you describe. One thing I've noticed in recent years at the beach is that there's like a growing market for all the ways you can do the things that you're describing. So you have to have a specific umbrella, these kind of half tents with sandproof tarps, these little wagons with extra wide wheels. There's just millions of dollars to be made. And then I'll see people, they're decked out like they're going on a voyage
right
to walk across the boards with their screaming children.
Yes.
To go out and sit full time on the beach. We never stayed out that long. I think my parents would have thought it redundant. They have, you know, the two brown children. And so, you know, but also I would have gotten bored. But I love the town. Like you said, I kind of love like going on the boardwalk, going to eat, going to the arcade.
Yeah. You know? I like the vibe of the beach town. You know what I mean? Did you frequent New York beaches?
Well, yes. So my neighbor, would take me and my, his daughter Sophia, so like I've known her, she's like one of my oldest friends. We would go to Reese Beach, in the Rockaways. So it's RIIS, and it's in it's most mornings it's in the takeoff path of flights. Was in the takeoff path of flights heading to Europe. So we would get there early enough that we could catch the Concords leaving.
Oh,
And it was the
how majestic.
This is well. Oh no, not majestic. It was fucking loud. it was majestic, but then it was like, oh, it's so pretty, and then
oh,
because those. I don't know if it couldn't be the afterburners, but just the whatever they needed to take off those engines before they kicked in the afterburners were loud enough. So you get it. I don't remember the order, but it was either. It was just going Paris and London were the two flights because Air France and British Air.
Right.
And they, if I remember right, I think they left within like half an hour of each other. But yeah, you got there early enough in the morning, you could catch the two of them, and it was just cacophony.
Wow.
Very nice cacophony.
Yeah. Oh, man. But so, yeah, but that was most of my beaching.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the sand from topic number three has been found in my floorboards. Ugh. A year later, we are moving on to topic. Number four, dry January.
Oh, well,
dry January.
How fitting.
Yes.
Not knowing we happen to be, we might be recording in that month.
We are recording in January. I'm comfortable to say we are recording this in the month of January.
Yes.
Although you may not be listening to it until February. What are your thoughts on dry January?
Well, I'm currently in the middle I'm currently doing dry January.
Are you?
Yes. And I realized, Peter and I happen to know each other socially, and I will correct this on the record. I fell into the trap of saying, well, I did this last year. Not true. I did it 2 years ago, but my brain is still stuck on last year being 2022.
Gotcha.
And so I would just want to correct that. Okay. You know, for me, it's the challenge of not drinking, because that's not true. It's sort of I've treated as a way to explore like what else is out there, because it is kind of like a knee jerk to like be out and about and attend. I'm a very social person, and just be like, oh yeah, I have like a couple drinks and whatever. And I never think, even within the drinks that I'll have, I don't tend to branch out. So like if I typically will have like a whiskey cocktail,
right?
Whiskey, a rye or something like that. I'm not going to try something else. It's just like, I'm just going to stick with the whiskey train. Like, and that's it. So I'm sort of, for me, it does have a nice side effect of being cheaper to not drink.
It definitely will save you some cash.
Also, it's just a nice, it's kind of fun to just see like, okay, what are the mocktails out there? Like if I can't find a mocktail list, I'm now settling on like ginger ale and bitters because I'm tired of, like,
that sounds good.
It is good. It actually is really good.
Yeah.
But you know, just something like, so it's not like I'm still like being around people, and I really do love ginger ale. So if there aren't good mocktails on, I'll just, also just plug. I'm sorry, Monday fake alcohol proprietor, purveyor, whatever. That crap is disgusting.
the fake spirits.
It's just,
yeah,
I've never had it.
Don't. I'm sorry, Monday.
That's gonna be That's gonna be a failed experiment. Yeah. That's gonna be like new Coke.
Yeah.
That's not
Crystal gonna last. Alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like this. Yeah. It's like they make these fake spirits, and it's, you know, I don't know.
Because what they did with Monday, they just put like a peppery thing to mimic the bite, and it's just like, no, it just feels like pepper stuck in the back of my throat. Like this doesn't.
Wow.
Yeah. It
that's a specific brand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know enough about it. Someone gave me some once because I stopped drinking about 9 years ago, and I don't like fake stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm gonna try to be vegetarian, I'm not gonna eat like a fake hot dog. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like I'm just gonna eat vegetables.
No Morningstar patties.
No. Mm. I'm not gonna eat the fake thing that I'm not doing.
Yeah.
So I don't drink non-alcoholic beer. I don't drink, you know. So someone gave it to me and said, hey, try this. And I was like, ugh. It was terrible. And it wasn't terrible because I haven't drank alcohol in a long time. It was just awful.
It's just bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, but now a mocktail is different, right? Like you can make a nice non-alcoholic drink that doesn't necessarily mimic.
Yeah, no.
I love Shirley Temples.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, they're better with alcohol.
That's fair.
But right. They're still very good.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing Dry January? Do you ever do that?
Well, something Diggs made me think about the other day is I think I'm doing Drier January. Okay. I think there's like gradients. So like, you know, if I'm not having benders, then I'm doing a Drier January.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying this just to tease, but like when you tried to order a Campari.
Yes.
I just was like, what? What? This is alcoholic, right?
And then in my head, it wasn't. But because I'm used to whiskey, so I just wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah.
You got it.
But that made me think, well, you know, it's like restraint January. Drier January is like Dig said, you find out like what more is out there. What are my social capabilities outside of alcohol?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Drier is a noble approach. I think, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like the gym.
Yes.
Right. It's a little bit like the gym. Yeah. Like, you know, and I've known people who've done Dry January through like the 15th. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Which isn't bad.
Yeah, no.
Take a couple of weeks off.
Half the month. That's not bad.
Yeah. Take a couple of, you know.
Yep.
I don't know. But I will say one thing about not drinking alcohol. And that is that the options have increased. Like when I quit drinking, it was like, you know, club soda and lime. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew what the hell that meant. Mm-hmm. When you'd mosey up to the bar for your first drink of the night. Yeah, give me a club soda and lime. They're like, that guy used to drink. That guy used to drink hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, something happened. You know, and you're just that guy. But nowadays, you know, they've really expanded. I think there's a market for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the breweries, they're making the non-alcoholic IPAs and all that kind of stuff. And I know that it's got to be better than the old O'Doul's days.
Yes.
O'Doul's. Wow.
O'Doul's right.
That was it.
That's
all there was back in the day, you know. And so now there's all these breweries that are doing these like zeros. Like there's did you ever try the Guinness?
Yes.
The Guinness?
I like the NA Guinness.
And it's fine. Like it's, cool. I always found it because I had a problem with it to not, like it's a slippery slope. Like I don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
But there are a lot of options.
Many choices.
But unfortunately, the alcohol has been sucked out of topic number 4. And we are moving on to topic number 5, the fifth and final topic of this episode of 5 at 5. You ready for it? Chalkboard or whiteboard?
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Ooh, chalkboard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whiteboard.
Yeah.
Oh. Preferably smart whiteboard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, so when I teach it, sometimes I'm on the F&M campus, and there will be just a chalkboard. And so not only are the students I'm teaching running around, like they're grinding the chalk up and throwing it around. And
like just like, nuts.
Yeah.
They're just going crazy.
And for whatever reason, maybe it's just like something about the changing of the times is the whiteboard sedates them a little bit. They'll draw on the whiteboard, but because it's a marker, I don't know if it's unconscious, they'll be really restrained about it.
Oh, wow.
But for me as a teacher, like, you know, when you accidentally graze your fingernail on the... It's triggering.
Say that.
Bad.
Yeah. And then if you add the smart board to the mix, like I can like be moving a video around with my hand as I diagram the shot of like a film.
Yeah.
And it's life-changing. It was life-changing, just the speed at which you could execute the lesson.
I have a very limited amount of experience with smart boards.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem fantastic.
Oh,
pretty cool.
And it would have been a long time ago, probably early generations. So what can you do with a smart board today in 2024?
So depending on, when I taught at Temple, those smart boards could do a lot. Like you could just resize the video with your finger.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Sometimes the students, especially if it was synced up with their computers, you could see how this can go wrong, right? So we're diagramming a shot. And a student starts drawing like various body parts on the characters, it can go south.
Gotcha.
It can go south. But for the most part, just the capacity to manipulate a video, to open document windows, to play with your PowerPoint presentation, or to let students, like in Zoom, you can open up this board where students, instead of giving answers in the chat in a more linear way, they can draw little doodles and answer together on like a shared board.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so I know that's a digital whiteboard, but when you do that with a smart board, you're just seeing it appear in front of you.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty
And then you can add to it.
What's your, what do you teach? What's the subject matter?
Anything in English studies, okay, for the most part. Not so much comp ret, but film, literature, theory, and writing.
Oh, that would be really helpful then, especially with film. Yeah. To be able to show clips and do these different things.
Well, for when I was dealing with this as like a student, like sciences, because science is not my strong suit, but like seeing sciences up on a smart board to be able to like chemistry, to be able to like actually like interact with like bonds and the other things.
whatever those things are.
But like to see like if you could like do a live experiment of like come up to the smart board and like move this around and see what happens. And then you'd see like, oh, this is how this affects, you know, this structure, whatever they're called, helix. What is it? Structure? But
yeah.
Here's how it affects the things. But then also, like for like, I don't know, things like history, to be able to like have a map or history, like to do like have maps on a smart board. And if you are like a teacher and you want to be able to show like, oh, here's how, if it's a war, for example, you know, here's how this incursion like sort of like, you know, Battle of the Bulge. I like seeing the Battle of the Bulge, like kind of depicted on a smart screen, so that you didn't have to keep flipping pages. It was just a simple like, well, this is what happened here, and then you just delete, and then and this is what happened when you did this. And like with military strategy stuff was fascinating to me when I was like in college. So many uses for those smart whiteboards that just, or even if you're just using the whiteboard as a whiteboard,
right?
And then you can save the notes. So even if you're erasing, there's still a copy of it that's saved, so that then the notes can be uploaded into Blackboard or whatever.
Sure.
Like
sure.
All of the uses for smart whiteboards, I love it. That being said,
oh, I knew it.
Well, no, I just there's something about there's one teacher, and it just so happens he has a connection to Lancaster because he was born here. He actually went to my high school and then also went to F&M, and I'm an alum of F&M is Franklin and Marshall College. If you're not in the area, he just had the most beautiful, nearly illegible calligraphy or script, but it would look like calligraphy. Just, I don't know why I have this like that connection to a chalkboard. Is all because of him, Mr. Attlee, because of the way he would just
write on that chalkboard,
and it just was just this beautiful majesty. It just Otherwise, yes, give me a smart whiteboard, but that's the one connection I still have to a chalkboard.
I feel compelled to say that. It just so happened that my assigned room had only chalkboards. F&M does have many smart boards.
Okay,
yes, they do.
If you're listening F&M,
but this is very true. I didn't think to defend my alma mater, but
the chalkboard. You know, when I grew up, that's all it was. It was right. Chalkboards
with the multiple roll down maps over it. Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man.
Transparencies.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the overhead projector, and they would write with a Sharpie.
That was the trippiest thing, understanding like the double mirror effect, or what I call the double mirror effect, because mm-hmm. It was like, okay, this should be right. And then you turn around and it's like, wait, what?
Nightmare.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I mean, I think that whiteboards, definitely elevated. The only problem with whiteboards is no matter what, when I walk into a conference room with a whiteboard and I pick up a marker, it is dry.
Yeah.
That's
like,
true.
Wear out, like, it's unbelievable.
Do you always try to use them in January?
Maybe. Well, the ink has run dry on topic number 5 as well, my friends. That is it. Isn't that the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting?
Yeah.
Zing.
Yeah.
It feels like we just started.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I feel like we are on topic number 1.5. Like we're on topic 0.5.
That's it.
5.5. Right. 0.5.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if we did 0.5?
Oh, God. 2.5 minute topics?
a fifth of a minute. I don't know what it is.
Ooh. I'm way too long winded for that.
half a topic and half a minute. It's like speed podcast.
Somebody who does math, can you help us out with it? Just put it in the comments.
I'm done. Peter, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Love to have you on. Yeah, have to have you back again sometime. Before too long, Diggs, my friend, always a pleasure to hang out with you.
And you.
To all of those people out there, all of you listeners, the people who've tuned in, yes. Thank you. I mean, do you know how many podcasts? The last number I saw was 5 million.
Wow.
5 million podcasts out there. Yep. And yet those who can hear my voice right now chose to listen to our little podcast from right here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Isn't that great? I love it.
And to everybody, of course, in our global audience, thank you for tuning in. We hope we didn't stay too ultra local for you today. But we will catch you all next time on Five by Five.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at The Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy. Find 5x5
at the Candy Factory website, coworkinginlancaster.com.